Welcome, I'm Rose Aguilar, and this is your Calls One Planet series. One of the most consequential presidential elections in our lifetimes is in just 28 days. Because of the Electoral College, just a handful of states will decide the election. Pennsylvania, with its 19 electoral votes, has become ground zero for Democrats and Republicans. Voters in Pennsylvania also play a key role in helping Democrats hold the majority in the Senate. According to Politico, Republicans and their allies are spending more money in Pennsylvania than in Michigan, Wisconsin, and Arizona combined. The GOP is spending 2.3 times as much to help former hedge fund CEO Dave McCormick oust a strong Democratic incumbent, Senator Bob Casey, in Pennsylvania, as in Michigan, which also has a very important Senate race. So on today's Your Call, we are talking about the importance of fracking and the climate crisis in Pennsylvania. What are the candidates' records and policy plans on the climate crisis? Kylie Benz covers climate change and the environment with a focus on Pennsylvania, politics, energy, and public health. She has written stories for Inside Climate News on the effects of the fracking boom in Pennsylvania. She has also fact-checked the Pennsylvania Senate candidates' debate claims on energy. Hi, Kylie. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm really excited to be here to talk about this topic.
Well, it's great to have you. So first off, can you give us a sense of what is happening in Pennsylvania, given that it is playing such a critical role in this election? And to think that Republicans and their allies are spending more money in Pennsylvania than in Michigan, Wisconsin, and Arizona combined really says a lot about how critical Pennsylvania is.
Yeah, I mean, I think that Pennsylvanians and Pennsylvanian voters especially are really feeling the attention, the spotlight, because of how important those electoral votes are, because of our critical Senate race. You know, if you're a Pennsylvania voter, you are being inundated with texts and calls and mailers and people on your doorstep canvassing. It can be a little overwhelming.
What are you all seeing on the ground? How is this playing out for voters, given that so much attention and so much money is flooding Pennsylvania?
Well, I think when we are looking at the fracking issue in particular, which has come to be one of the most important issues in terms of this presidential election, it's sort of risen to the forefront when it comes to Pennsylvania. A lot of Pennsylvanians, I think, scratch their heads a little bit about the prominence that fracking is given in particular. Pennsylvanians are really divided on the topic of fracking. It's not an issue that there's a consensus on. And I think it's important to understand that fracking is not a wedge issue. It's not the kind of issue that changes people's minds or decides how they vote. If you ask, or if you look at polling on what issues are really important to Pennsylvanians, it's things like immigration, it's things like the economy, reproductive rights.
So tell us more about this, because Vice President Harris was asked about fracking, and then the fracking issue got a lot of attention when we learned that she was going to become the presidential candidate. Because when she originally ran for president, she said she supported a fracking ban, and now she says she does not. And so that is one of the reasons why fracking became such a crucial issue. And for those of us outside of Pennsylvania, because of that coverage, we were led to believe that fracking was near the top of voters' minds in Pennsylvania. So tell us more about that.
Yeah, I mean, I think that that's totally understandable that that would be the impression that people outside the state get. The fact is that that's just not true. I think that Harris's sort of change of heart on this issue is more about a general appeal to middle of the road, moderate swing voters, people who are looking for more of a centrist, moderate sort of take on the issues. And I think that you can see how this is playing out in the Senate race as well. Fracking has come up a lot with the race between Dave McCormick, like you mentioned in your intro, and Senator Bob Casey, who is our Democratic senator right now. McCormick has brought up fracking a lot when he is attacking and trying to talk about Bob Casey's record. Even though Bob Casey has always supported fracking, he's never supported a ban on it. There's no evidence that he is someone who would act against it really in any way.
And can you tell us more about where fracking is happening in the state? WHYY reports that in March, Pennsylvania reported almost 17,000 jobs in the fracking industry, which is less than one half of 1% of all jobs. As a comparison, construction jobs account for 260,000 jobs in Pennsylvania, while manufacturing provides almost 567,000 jobs.
Yeah, so I think that's a really important point and something that is critical to understanding this issue. Republicans and people running on the Republican platform, they'd really like this to be an economic issue because, like I said before, the economy is something that voters do really care about. But the truth is the impact of fracking on the Pennsylvania economy is mixed at best. And like you just said, it really doesn't support that many jobs when you're looking at the whole picture. Fracking is concentrated in the southwestern part of the state and then across the northern sort of half. And that's because of where the gas deposits are. So here in Philadelphia, where I'm based, we don't have the shale gas deposits. So there's no fracking happening in this part of the state.
So I think this says a lot about the national media, Kylie, because again, we were led to believe that fracking is so important to Pennsylvania voters. And you're saying, while yes, it's important, it is not near the top of the list.
No, I think I've never seen evidence that that's true. And it is, I think that it's one of those things where it's become a little bit of a mythology about Pennsylvania, where every election cycle, you know, people start talking about Pennsylvania, the swing state, and media and pundits, they bring out the fracking card and they start talking about it. But I think it's much more complicated than it may seem.
What about the overall climate crisis in Pennsylvania? What role is that playing in the presidential race and the Senate race?
So I think it's somewhat similar to the country as a whole. You know, one of the reasons Pennsylvania is a swing state is because it's kind of a microcosm for the politics and the purpleness of the United States as a whole. So there are some voters in Pennsylvania who care about climate change, but it's not the majority. And it also is not one of those issues where people are saying, you know, I'm going to vote based on climate change. I think here in Pennsylvania, because our politics are very divisive and divided, a lot of our politicians have somewhat similar views on things like fracking. If you actually look at Bob Casey's views on climate change and fracking, they are different from Dave McCormick's, but on some things, they're somewhat similar.
So let's talk more about this Senate race. First, Bob Casey, he earned a lifetime score of 94% from the League of Conservation Voters. He played a key role in passing the Inflation Reduction Act. In April, the League of Conservation Voters called Bob Casey a climate champion. Tell us more about Bob Casey's record on climate issues.
So all of those things are very true. He's been a big proponent of the IRA and investing in clean energy technologies. But I think that it's complicated or clouded, if you will, because he's also a big supporter of fossil fuels and extraction. And since he became senator, I think he was elected in 2006, natural gas production in Pennsylvania has exploded because of the shale gas boom. And so if you're really serious about tackling climate change, you need to be thinking about how do you phase out fossil fuels. Whereas if you listen to Bob Casey, like during the debate on Thursday of last week, he talked about how he's for an all of the above energy policy, which is something that you'll hear Dave McCormick support as well.
So does Bob Casey talk about renewable energy? I mean, obviously he supported the Inflation Reduction Act, but does he regularly talk about renewable energy? Does he talk about phasing out fossil fuels at all?
So he does talk about investing in renewable energy and, you know, the work that the IRA is starting to do. I don't think I've ever heard him talk about phasing out fossil fuels. And that's because Pennsylvania is the second largest producer of natural gas, and he sees it as part of his mandate to, you know, protect those jobs, protect that part of the state economy.
What else do we need to know about Bob Casey's record, given how important this Senate race is and just how important the climate crisis is? We just got breaking news alerts about Florida bracing for a powerful Category 5 hurricane. So obviously what Bob Casey does is so important to Pennsylvania voters, but it's also important to the rest of us because of the climate crisis.
Yeah, it definitely is. I think that it's important to understand that his views over time seem to have shifted on this, and they may continue to shift, and that he seems to be someone who views climate change as a more important issue now than maybe he did in the past. Keep in mind, he has been in the Senate for 18 years at this point. So he has a very, very long record to take a look at. And I think because Dave McCormick is perhaps the toughest challenger he's ever faced, in his many election cycles that he's been through, climate is perhaps playing a more important role because the margin is smaller. And young voters in Pennsylvania, like elsewhere in the country, care about climate change a lot.
Right. We're speaking with Kylie Bentz. Kylie covers climate change and the environment with a focus on Pennsylvania. Pennsylvania has become a critical state for Republicans and Democrats because of the Electoral College. It's got 19 electoral votes. Republicans and their allies are spending more money in Pennsylvania than Michigan, Wisconsin, and Arizona combined, according to Politico. And according to the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, this is just an incredible number. Money in politics is just reaching new levels. With a month to go before the election, a staggering $954 million has flooded into TV, radio, and digital ads across Pennsylvania, more money than any other state in an election cycle in U.S. history. So almost $1 billion, Kylie, has flooded into Pennsylvania. It's incredible, more than any other state in the country.
Yeah, I mean, it's like I said at the beginning of the show, it is overwhelming. I personally, as a Pennsylvania voter, I am getting dozens of texts per day. Every time I watch TV, it's one ad for one candidate, one for the other. Like if you watch the Phillies game this weekend, it's relentless. And I think it's unclear at this point, like what all of that spending is going to yield.
Right. And also, it's important to point out that according to the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, most of the money that is surging into Pennsylvania is coming from out of state, where some of the wealthiest donors in the country are pouring hundreds of millions of dollars into national super PACs and dark money groups that have really raised a lot of questions again about the influence of money in politics. It's kind of sad that we really don't even talk about money in politics because it is just so out of control. If you have any questions about what's happening in this very important state in Pennsylvania, and I was just wondering about the population, it's almost 13 million people, you can give us a call at 866-798-8255. You can also email your call at kalw.org. So for people who are not familiar with Dave McCormick, he is a former hedge fund CEO. What else can you tell us about Dave McCormick?
So I think Dave McCormick, it's important to understand that he is trying to position himself as more moderate than some of the more right-wing elements of the Republican Party, because he knows that to beat Bob Casey, who, like I said earlier, is very centrist and moderate, he needs to appeal to those independent kind of swing voters who can be, convinced to vote for either a Democrat or a Republican. So I think a lot of his positions and the way that he talks about the issues, you can sort of see that strategy in place. If you watch his ads where he talks about fracking and where he's attacking Bob Casey and trying to tie Bob Casey to Kamala Harris, it's all part of a strategy to make both Casey and Harris look radical or extremist.
You write that when you ask environmentalists about McCormick, one of the first things they bring up is his wife, Dinah Powell. McCormick, who sits on ExxonMobil's board of directors, Stevie O'Hanlon, the communications director for the youth-led Sunrise Movement, said McCormick has bragged about his ties to ExxonMobil. He has not hidden the fact that if he's elected, he will do the bidding of oil and gas CEOs and lobbyists instead of fighting for what working-class Pennsylvanians need. And then according to Climate Power, McCormick's hedge fund Bridgewater Associates had $400 billion invested in the energy sector, profiting from companies like ExxonMobil and Halliburton. So tell us more about these connections.
I think that a lot of voters have questions about these connections and this past, you know, his past with the hedge fund and investments and what that will mean if he is the senator of Pennsylvania. How will he think about these issues, particularly with his wife being on the board of ExxonMobil? I think it's hard not to wonder what that might mean about how he views the oil and gas industry. You know, he has said repeatedly, and his policy platform is that he wants to unleash the oil and gas industry in Pennsylvania. So like President Donald Trump, he's all for, you know, rolling back regulations that exist and ramping up extraction even more.
According to the AP, this is from 2 years ago, Dave McCormick made more than $22 million as CEO of his hedge fund. You just have to wonder, has anyone asked him, Kylie, why is he running for Senate? You know, so many wealthy people decide to get into politics. Has anyone asked him why?
You know, that's a really good question. I can't think of a specific instance, but I think that his reasoning is similar to a lot of Republicans who are running, particularly with a similar kind of business background, that he wants to bring, you know, common sense to government. And he's also an advocate of smaller government. But his background is a real source of controversy in Pennsylvania. And it's Bob Casey's main sort of line of attack on McCormick has been this hedge fund background, the fact that he has this residence in Connecticut. You know, there's a lot of, you know, attacks sort of calling him a carpetbagger, that he's come into the state from outside the state, hadn't lived in Pennsylvania in a while when he ran. And so that is sort of part of the Casey campaign's attempts to smear McCormick.
According to the AP, he was CEO of the hedge fund Bridgewater Associates, the world's largest hedge fund. If elected, he would be among the wealthiest U.S. senators. He and his wife estimate the value of their assets between $116 million and $289 million. And again, according to Climate Power, he supports tax breaks for big oil companies that handed them a nearly $15 billion windfall. What was the debate like between Senator Bob Casey and Dave McCormick on the climate crisis? What did you find when you fact-checked them?
Well, they didn't talk about the climate crisis very much. They did talk about fracking. They did talk a little bit about clean energy. Bob Casey talked about that. There's a lot of accusations of each of them accusing the other of lying about various things. McCormick, I think, was trying to talk a lot about how Bob Casey has been in office for a really long time, which is true, and was kind of saying, you know, what has he accomplished in that time, as well as accusing Casey of lying about things like his record on fracking. But Casey hasn't lied about that. I think that if, when I went to fact check their claims and look at, you know, who is really telling the truth, for the most part, a lot of the things that McCormick was saying about energy, about the U.S. steel sale, for example, were not really true.
How competitive is this race? What are you hearing from Pennsylvania voters?
So I think that this race is more competitive than Casey has faced in the past. But Casey is in the lead. He has a narrow lead, I would say. Who knows what will happen between now and Election Day, but I think right now Casey is in a fairly good position. The debate seemed to go pretty well for him. McCormick was kind of lobbing attacks at him, accusing him of lying, attacking his character, and Casey was very calm throughout all of that, you know, didn't really react, was able to deliver his talking points. So, you know, I think that helped him, and unless or until something else happens that changes the course of the race, it seems like Casey's in the lead.
Now, this is our One Planet show. We always talk about the climate crisis, but given how important this Senate race is, can you give us a sense, Kylie, of some of the other issues that have come up? Where do they really disagree? For example, I'm just wondering, what kind of Republican is Bob McCormick? Is he extremely anti-abortion, anti-gun control? What kind of Republican is he?
So I think that he is really trying to make himself seem more moderate, because he knows that's what he needs to do to win. But I think it's really challenging for him because he still needs to appeal to the Republican right-wing base. So he's kind of trying to walk a complicated line there where he is trying to give these sort of nuanced answers on things like abortion and on fracking, where he doesn't want to like completely, turn off those independent moderate voters.
And voters in Pennsylvania, what are you hearing from voters in terms of just where they stand on issues? Have things really changed in Pennsylvania over the years in terms of where voters, what kind of a Democrats or Republicans, have they shifted much given how much has changed in the country in terms of Trump and the Republican Party?
I mean, I think that there has been change. If you look, for example, at the presidential elections in 2016 and 2020, you can see a shift towards Democratic candidates in those collar counties, which are the suburban counties outside Philadelphia. There's sort of a movement of voters who maybe used to be Republicans, who are more moderate Republicans, may have voted for someone like Mitt Romney. Maybe some of them voted for Donald Trump in 2016, but in 2020, they did not. They voted for Biden. So there is some shift there. It's hard to say exactly, how that's going to play out in this election. The polling is very close in the presidential race right now. But I think McCormick kind of is trying to insert himself in that. He's trying to appeal to that type of suburban moderate voter that would have, been someone who was a fan of a Mitt Romney type of Republican.
And then to take this back to fracking where we started, we noticed that while the media talked about Kamala Harris changing her position on fracking, most in the media failed to talk about the health and environmental impacts of fracking. So can we end there, Kylie? What do we need to know about the health effects and the environmental effects of fracking in Pennsylvania?
Well, I'm really glad that you asked this because I feel like this is not something that is brought up enough when we're talking about fracking. Fracking in Pennsylvania started about 20 years ago. And so public health experts and scientists have been studying its impact on health and the environment for quite some time. And there is ample evidence that fracking cannot be done in a way that is totally safe. It has a negative impact on people's health, including things like asthma rates, low birth weights, lymphoma, which is a type of cancer. And then it's also not good for the environment. It's been linked to air pollution and water contamination. And it's not good for climate change. Natural gas, which is the product of fracking, or methane, is a highly potent greenhouse gas. And when it leaks and gets into the atmosphere, it contributes greatly to global warming. So there's a lot of negative impacts of it. And I think that sort of gets lost in the conversation when we talk about this issue.
Right. And a number of public health officials have spent years talking about the health effects of fracking.
Yes. I mean, there's no shortage of people in Pennsylvania, but both residents who live near fracking wells and experts, doctors, scientists, activists who study this, who track this, who are monitoring it. There are people in Pennsylvania who have lost access to their private well water, for example, because it's been contaminated by fracking.
Any final thoughts, given that Pennsylvania is such a crucial state and we're all going to be watching on election night to find out what happens in Pennsylvania?
I guess I would just encourage people who are maybe listening to this outside of the state, other parts of the country, to understand that it's really nuanced and it's not something that many Pennsylvanians are going around talking about every single day. Especially if you're in the part of the state where fracking is not a big part of the economy or a big part of everyday life, this is not one of those issues that people are discussing all that much.
Kylie Bentz covers climate change and the environment with a focus on Pennsylvania politics, energy, and public health. Kylie, thank you so much for your work and thank you for joining us.
Of course. Thanks so much for having me.
Thank you. And you can learn more about what is happening in Pennsylvania at our website, kalw.org. Click news and then your call. And again, Pennsylvania is going to be so critical on election night, and to learn that almost $1 billion is being spent in Pennsylvania, more than any other state in the country. According to the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, a lot of money is coming from outside groups, and then there's just so much dark money flooding into the races. You know, we have not done a show about money in politics. It's just so out of control at this point. But if you'd like us to do one, we don't have that many shows left until Election Day. And we're spending a lot of time thinking about the shows that we should do about the election. So we'd love to hear from you. How do you want us to cover the election, given that we've only got 28 days left? You can email yourcall@kalw.org. Coming up after a break, we will talk about how a second Trump presidency would be worse for the environment than the first. This is Your Calls One Planet series. We'll be back after this.